If you have your Bibles tonight, turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter number 4. Philippians chapter 4. This morning in my Sunday school class, we talked about how Jesus really gave that commission to his church when he left about our responsibility to go into all the world and preach the gospel, really emphasized our part in being a witness and being a testimony and sharing our faith with people. And tonight in Philippians chapter 4, I want to look at another responsibility and part that we have really in supporting the work of missions. We're going to look at this church here and what they meant to Paul, who was a missionary, and their giving, and really how it helped him in his time of need, encouraged his heart, and hopefully it will give us a vision tonight, a burden, as Pastor spoke about this morning, a burden for the work of God. Because truly, and I said this in Sunday school this morning, our responsibility to witness and to get out the gospel of Jesus Christ is truly the most important thing we'll ever do in life. And that's above what we do with our families and with your occupation. It's the most important thing. So tonight I want to look at this through missions and hopefully just encourage you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer though before we begin. Father, we come to you tonight and thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to be here in the service tonight. I thank you for your word and just the clear teachings that are within it. Lord, I pray tonight you would encourage our hearts. Lord, that you would cause us to have a true burden and desire for souls, for the ministry, for missions, that God, we would be doing as much as we possibly could. God, we know that the day is getting dark, and Lord, there's a day coming when we can work no more. So I pray that, God, you would help us in these last times, God, that we have to do everything that we possibly can to reach the souls of man for you, Lord, to share with them the greatest news they'll ever hear, Lord. And I pray that you would just be with our pastor as he's away and bless him. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Philippians chapter number 4, look at verse number 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So quickly tonight, I know it's late, so I won't preach a long sermon, I promise. We're going to look at this, and I want to consider a few things. First off, let's look at the fact that God's people, his church right here, they were supporting the work of missions. Paul talked about, in verse 10, how he greatly rejoiced about their care that had flourished again toward him. And he talked about how they were careful, meaning they really had become a part of Paul's ministry, and they had been laborers together. And as Pastor even just mentioned about how fruit abounds to your account, that's in verse number 17. He told them that this is going to be fruit to your account, that you're giving this gift, they're giving to the work of missions. In verse number 16, he talked about once again that you know, you gave to me when I was in Thessalonica, and unto my necessity, I had these needs. And this church was giving to Paul, giving to missions, giving to the work of the Lord. And I know that looking out on this room, I'm pretty sure that most of us in this room know this, but this is the biblical way for missions to work. I'm not going to get into all the details of how other things, other ways people do it, but one thing that I can tell you, you read here in these verses, is you read about a church that had built a personal relationship with their missionary. They knew him. They loved him. And they didn't just love him, they gave because they cared about him. They cared about the ministry. They cared about the necessities that Paul had. And they were involved in his life. And really, I appreciate what Brother Gary said. It kind of ties in here about how in the past we would, you know, try to communicate with our missionaries and how good it is and was. And I'm sure he could tell you more than I can. Is our missionaries go through things on the field that you and I don't even understand. We don't even know. Because number one, they have a different culture, a different way of life. But then also, one thing I can assure you of is that the devil hates the work of missions. Because that is getting the good news of Jesus Christ to the lost souls. And the Bible makes it clear that the devil would keep people blinded in their sins. That he would blind their minds and their hearts and their eyes from ever understanding. So when a person is going to take the light of Jesus Christ to a people and preach the gospel, you can be assured that there is going to be a lot of affliction. There's going to be a lot of persecution. There's going to be a lot of difficulties in their way. And we don't have time, but if we just look at the life of the Apostle Paul, one thing that marked his life in my mind was afflictions, difficulties, struggles, things that came in his way, pain and suffering. Sometimes we get this idea in our mind, especially in America today, that serving the Lord is somehow this easy and without any kind of difficulties or pushbacks toward anything, that's what the service of the Lord is. And I can tell you the Bible will disprove that over and over again. If you're going to serve the Lord, you're going to have a lot of struggles. You're going to have a lot of problems. If you're truly going to be what God wants you to be, there is an enemy that hates you. There is a world that hates you. And Jesus even said, they hated me, they will hate you. The world will hate you for it. But we ought to be his servants, because what we have, what we contain, the message of Christ, as I stated this morning, is the greatest thing a person could ever hear in their life. The most life-changing message. And for us to hold it back and to not support missionaries and to not pray for them, it's about more than just giving, about praying for them and encouraging them. If we don't do that, I mean, we are missing out on blessings that God has for our life. And not just in this life, but in the life to come. That's what I believe that fruit that abounds to your account is. That is, yeah, you get blessings in this life, but I think in the life to come, there's going to be so much more fruit. And in reality, a lot of times we're so guilty of laying up the treasures that we have here on earth, looking for what can I get today? What can I put into my retirement? What can I do to get myself more? But really, we ought to be thinking about what the future is for us. What is after this life? So they were definitely involved. They loved the Apostle Paul. They helped him. So we looked at the church's responsibility of supporting the work of missions, and it's our responsibility. We ought to take that very personal in our lives. But then I want to look at the fact that Paul, who is a missionary here, he struggled in the ministry, and what I mean by that is he had necessities, he had needs, he had problems, he had afflictions. Let's real quick, before we do that, let's look at, let me find this here, Acts chapter 16. I just kind of want to read a few of these verses here. This kind of shows you where Paul really started. This was his second missionary journey. And this is when he went to Philippi. I'll read some verses and just kind of show you some of the people that were at that church there. And it wasn't a church yet here, but they put their faith in Jesus, and I'm sure they were part of this church. But anyway, so let's start reading Acts chapter number 16. Let's look in verse 7. It says, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they passed by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. So this is Paul's vision here. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. So God actually called them into this region. This is when they're going to go into Philippi. This is under the direction of the Holy Spirit of God to go to this place. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days, and on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. So Paul gets, he meets Lydia here. She puts her faith in the Lord and really says, I want you in my house. And so Paul is going to do that here in a moment in this chapter. But the next verse in 16, the Bible talks about how he is, he's preaching and doing the work of the Lord. And there's this damsel that follows him around. She's possessed by a demon, and she brought her masters a lot of gain. And she follows Paul around for days, and he will cast out that demon. And as soon as he does that, the Bible says that this lady's masters, who made all this money off of her, were really upset with Paul because of what he'd done, because he had freed this woman from this demon spirit. And so what would happen is they would end up actually getting beaten. And when they got beaten, they got thrown in prison. So it's Paul and Silas, and they're in prison at night, and you know what they do? They sing praises to the Lord. And God opens up the prison doors. And when he opens up the prison doors, what happens is the jailer is so afraid that everyone's going to escape, so he's going to take his own life. He's going to kill himself. Paul calls out to him, and the man falls at the feet of Paul and says, what must I do to be saved? And then he tells him, you got to put your faith in Jesus Christ. And him and his house, they get saved. They trust in the Lord. So God is doing a work here. But even in this instance, Paul was beaten for what he had done here. He was thrown in prison for what he had done here. And this was just a typical thing for the life of Paul. He suffered at the hands of people often. And so after that, he kind of gets threatened by, he'll go over into Thessalonica. He'll get a lot of threats, and they'll kind of get him out of there. And then he'll go to jail, be in prison for a while. So his life is definitely full of sufferings. But Paul had needs, is the thing. Paul had things in his life that were a great struggle for him. And I love these verses that are here. And I do want to say, we're going to talk about this in just a minute. This verse, number 13, is one of the most misused verses, I think, that we hear in our world. People claim this, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And tonight, I really want to look at what Paul meant by this, because he had a very specific reason why he said this. But he told these people that in verse number 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Paul said he learned a valuable lesson in his life, and that was contentment. It was not something that was natural to him. He learned it. And I don't think it's natural for most people to be content in the situations and circumstances they're in. One thing that I noticed when I was reading in Acts chapter 16, Paul was perfectly content in that jail cell that night after being beaten. And most people would be like, God, this is not fair. God, why would you let this happen to me? God, why? I'm just preaching your message. I'm following you. I'm doing the work of the Lord, and you're letting me suffer in this way. And, you know, another thing about Paul, he definitely was not in the ministry for money's sake. He wasn't in there so that he could gain all these benefits from being in it, because he said, I suffer need. I know what it is to have nothing. I know what it is to, you know, to have great needs. I know what it is to be hungry. I know what it is to suffer need. But he said, even in all of that, I have learned that I am actually content where I'm at. And that is a great lesson for all of us as believers to learn in this life. Because so often, we get to a place where we're so unsatisfied where God has us because things don't go the way we plan them to go. You know, maybe we don't have what we feel like we need. Maybe we don't have what we think we deserve. Whatever it is, oftentimes there's great discontentment in the people of God, the people that should know God and say, you know what, it doesn't matter. I love the Lord. God's enough for me. It's just amazing to me. You know, if I saw a preacher who had a mega church, he was worth millions, and he said, I have learned to be content in whatsoever state I'm in, to me, that wouldn't carry a whole lot of weight because you have a lot of money and your life is pretty easy. But for a man who would sit in dark jail cells, for a man who would be stoned and left for dead, for a man, and we don't have time to turn here tonight, but would talk to the church at Corinth and say, hey, these people at the Philippi, they've supplied for my needs over and over again while you weren't doing anything. You guys weren't giving anything. I didn't take anything from you, and that's fine. He wasn't trying to complain to them, but there were churches that weren't giving him anything. So it's not that Paul just had all this money pouring in. He had to supplement his income and work on tents. And here is a man that said, I am content because I know I'm in God's will. That's good enough for me. I don't have to have everything. I don't have to have God just make the road so easy and smooth to follow Him. I love Him and I love people. But I feel like sometimes in America, we just want an easy road. We want a road that doesn't require faith. When a road that doesn't require, you know what, in the fieriest of trials, you ought to have enough faith and contentment in God that you say, you know what, I trust Him. I trust that He's going to take care of this. I trust that no matter what He brings me through, it might hurt, it might be painful, I might suffer wants and needs that I can't meet, but that's all right because I'm content. I'm content. I'm happy following the Lord. Once again, thinking back on when he was in prison, you don't normally sing praise to God when you're not happy, right? You're not going to sing praise to God when you're... But here's the thing. I mean, this is a man that said, you know what? Even right here in this place... And you have to know he was bleeding from being beaten here, because the Bible says that this jailer would take him home and tend to his wounds. So he's bleeding. He's in a jail cell. He has no idea, by the way, what's going to happen. It's not like God said you only be in there. He has no idea. He doesn't know what's coming next. So what does he do? He worships God. Is that us? Is that how we treat life? Where we say, God, I'm following you and I'm perfectly content. God, if you give me all these things, thank you. If you give me or take away all these things, thank you. Whatever it is, God, I love you. Whatever it is, God, I am just content being in the middle of your will and following you. I've learned these things, Paul said. I've learned that At times, God gives me great things. He gives me plenteous things. And at times, I suffer need. So Paul struggled in the ministry. He had great afflictions in the ministry. He had things that he probably didn't want to happen, but he learned how to be content in that ministry. And church tonight, I think we ought to be content wherever God puts us and places us. And if that's in the middle of something that is painful for you, learn how to be content in the Lord. Learn how to continue on with Him. So we see a struggle here. Excuse me. And then lastly, I want to look at Paul's confidence in God. So this is where, in verse number 13, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And then he also told the church in verse number 19, for their giving, for the fact that they were giving to the ministry of Paul and the mission, he said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He told this to a church that was giving. It wasn't that he just said, God's going to meet your need. He said, because you give, God will take care of you. And so first off, let's think of the fact that he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Paul was relying upon God. As I said, this is a misinterpreted verse of Scripture. If I just read that and had no context to go off of, I could use it like some people use it. Some people use it for like a personal achievement kind of verse here. They view it almost like it's some kind of like a charm that I can win this big game or I can pass this hard test or I'm going to get a promotion at work. Sometimes you'll see somebody like who's into weightlifting. I can do all things through Christ. And they say, you know, God is going to enable me to do just whatever I want. God's with me. He's like this personal genie that's going to say, you can do it. You can do it. And though God does give us strength, Paul was saying this, I'm suffering, but I know I can continue on and be content in His will because I can do all things through Christ. I know that things aren't going the way that I planned for them to go, but I can keep going in Him. And I can be very content where I'm at because of Jesus, because He strengthens me. Some people use it with the thought, I can do anything. You know, this thought of whatever I dream, God will give me the power to do it. If it's in my heart, if it's something that I just feel like I need to do in life, I can do all things through Christ. That's not necessarily true, right? I mean, it's not that just because you dream it up, or you feel like this is, you know, this is it. This is what your life is meant to be. It's not that God's just going to make it happen. We have to be in the will of God. We have to be searching for His best for our life. And in the middle of that, God will enable you to serve Him and to follow Him. Some people use it in a prosperity aspect. They assume that God will give us everything that we want in life, like comfort and victory. Physical abundance. But this is the exact opposite in this verse. It's the exact opposite. This isn't saying God's going to... You know, if Paul really meant it in the fact that I can do anything, Paul could have said, well, I want to get out of all this heartache, this suffering, need, and I believe that God's going to make me rich now. I can do all things through Christ. I believe this can happen. I believe God can change. It wasn't that. It was, listen, I know where I'm at, and I know the God that I serve. I know that my God will give me the strength that I need to make it through. Paul had a thorn in his flesh, and he prayed for God to take it away over and over again. And he's asking God, God, can you remove this from my life? And most of you probably remember this. God told him no. He said, Paul, I won't take that from you. I won't remove it. But he said this, my grace is sufficient. Paul, I'll take care of you. I'll give you the strength that you need to continue on. I'll give you exactly what you need to make it through this. My grace will carry you through, but you're not getting out of it. It's not coming away from you. You see, God does give us the strength to serve Him. God gives us the ability But don't think that when we pray to God, He just makes everything easy for the life of a believer. Life is good here in America. It's easy. There's not a lot of suffering for standing up for the name of Jesus Christ. But I don't always think that is a good thing. I don't think that's always something that, you know, just makes a person a... It definitely doesn't make a stronger Christian. There are people that know that if they get caught in certain parts of the world, that they'll lose their life, or they'll be imprisoned, or they'll be punished for it. And you know what they do? They still meet. They still learn about the Lord Jesus Christ. They still have a desire to hear His word. But yet sometimes in our land, where there's freedom, people don't even want to meet. They don't even care. It doesn't matter that much to them. There's people, you could not pull them away from God and serving Him. And for us here in America, it doesn't take anything. Ah, that's tough. I'm not going to do that. I can't continue on that. What? You want me to do that? Why? Because we're not relying on the Lord and His strength. Paul, this verse right here doesn't say, life's easy, just trust in the Lord and you're going to do all things. No, it's life is tough, but through Christ and His strength, I can continue on. I can keep going. You know, we need God's help. We need God's help to continue with our vision and our burden for the lost. And then also, just focusing on verse number 19. We need to trust that God is going to take care of our needs. You know, oftentimes, and I would never... There are preachers out there they'll get up and they'll... It's kind of humorous to watch some of these videos, but they'll say, God laid it on my heart tonight. And you guys, there's somebody in this audience that needs to give. Sometimes they'll throw out like a crazy number, like a $10,000 seed is what they're going to call it. I need a $10,000 seed. God's calling someone tonight. And they'll just preach and preach and preach. One guy, he told him to shut the doors until he got the money that he wanted. Shut them doors, ushers. So he's asking and requiring this money. It can get out of hand and crazy, and that's wrong. But I do want to say this. You know, giving to the work of missions is something that God does in the hearts of believers. God calls us to give. And He calls individuals and families to give. And if God is calling us, you ought to obey Him and trust that He will take care of your needs. And it's not that we say you have to give this or you have to do this or it has to be this much money. Really, it's the heart of the matter. The fact that people need to have just this belief that God is going to take care of things on our end, and we just have to trust and obey Him, what He asks for us to do. And it's not even about a specific number. Jesus was watching this woman who was giving, and she threw in those two mites, those two small coins. And as He watched, He told His disciples, she gave more than anybody else that has given today. And they, I'm sure, probably thought, what do you mean, Lord? She barely gave anything. And He let them know that out of their abundance, they had all this money, and they gave, and that's a good thing. But they gave out of their abundance. There wasn't a lot of trust or faith in it because they just had enough. But her, she gave everything that she had, and that was it. And that, in the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ, was more than anything else that was given. You see, it's not about the price. It's about the fact that we have a heart to give and trust that God's going to take care of things. That's what giving is about. It's not about the set amount of money or I'm better because I'm giving this much or I feel ashamed because I'm not giving this much. Whatever God calls you to do, you ought to be willing to obey it. You ought to be willing to say, you know what, Lord? I trust that You will supply my needs. I trust that You will work through me, that You will meet my needs. You know, Paul really had this down in his life. And as I said, he is such a great example in the Scriptures because he knew what it was to suffer. He knew what it was to struggle. And he put his faith in God and said, God's taking care of me. God's given me strength. and God's going to bless you. Let's be involved in the work of missions, the greatest work that we can do on this earth. We don't know how long we have, but I think that the day is fast approaching when everything's going to be over. There's not going to be a chance to do this anymore, to serve Him, to give to Him, to be part of the ministry. So I encourage you tonight, if you're not doing anything, start doing something. And if you are, just continue. God will take care of you.